And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the motorcycle road racing podcast.
Number 43.
There are other motorcycle road racing podcasts, but you know, guess that's how you was raised. He's Ed Sorbo from Lindemann Engineering. You can find him on the web at le-suspension.com. I am Michael Gugis. You can find my photographs on the web at motorbikeroadracing.smugmug.com. And Ed, you were right. I do.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay, show's over. That was perfect.
I do.
We got it on tape, folks. I was right.
You're right. I do enjoy saying smug mug. Hey, Ed, guess what?
Nice.
Ed, yeah. Guess what?
What, Michael?
You're a genius. But okay. I can't tell you why yet. You're gonna have to wait for an upcoming episode.
Oh, good. How do you keep a blonde in suspense?
Right?
Tell him he's a genius. Yeah. Hey, Michael, what did you do this weekend?
God. Oh, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
You watched MotoGP, right?
I did watch MotoGP.
Well, you know what? I did not. Right. I didn't watch it until today. You know why?
Yes, I do know why, but why don't you tell our listeners, Ed?
Yeah, thank you for that nice introduction, because I participated in my 12th, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 24-hour race, which proves that I'm just crazy stupid that way. Oh, and one of those races was actually 25 hours long. It was a dirt bike race that started on the last day, and then they changed the clocks. So you got midnight two times, so it actually adds up to 25 hours.
That's hysterical.
So anyway,
I said, that's hysterical. I have a question, Ed. Why did you count to 12?
Wanted to make people understand how stupid I am. All right? I mean, that is some commitment to do 12, 24 hours. And I can tell you there's more in the future for me.
I don't think you needed to do it that way, though.
But I feel like they already know I'm crazy. Yeah.
Well, we're just happy you can count to 12.
The craziness of this one was even exponential, right?
Yes.
Because I got an email on Thursday before the race saying, hey, are you available? So the guys at motorcycle.com, they call themselves morons because the old initials for their website used to be Motorcycle Online. So M-O. So they went morons, capital O, capital M, capital O, R-O-N-S for the team name.
Okay.
Not my favorite team name, but at least there's a story behind it.
Exactly.
Anyway, they emailed me and said, are you available to ride? One of our guys can't make it at the last minute. The guy's got to go to the press introduction of that new crazy Honda Street MotoGP bike thing, you know?
Aw, like, bummer.
Yeah. And so I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll join. So there's five riders. And, you know, we had a fantastic time. There was some ups and some downs, and it was challenging. It's going to make an awesome story. Troy Sion, the team captain, will be writing the story. So check out motorcycle.com. I'm sure it'll be up shortly. And then look for me.
I have a question before you go there. Is there any truth to the rumor that I have heard that you did suspension work on the race bike during the race and said suspension work involved the stove of your RV?
No comment.
No.
you have to wait for the story to come out on the website.
No comment. Mr. Sorbo, why are you dodging my questions?
I recommend that you read that story. It's going
to
be good.
Awesome. Ed, speaking of... Wait, you said something before we started that I loved. Tell me about your heart rate while you were racing in the 24-hour race. Where was it anyway, did you say?
You know, I don't know what it was, but I mean, I've done this for a long, long time. I know what the limitations are of whatever bike I'm riding. I'm going to ride to that level, and I'm not going to crash, right? It's a 24-hour race. You cannot crash. It's unacceptable. And so it's a calm situation for me, right? I've been racing forever. I don't get excited about that stuff. I have a job to do. I go do that job.
You know what? I watched
MotoGP today. Dude, my fucking pulse was through the roof from the time the thing turned green. It was unbelievable.
You know what? I have to tell you something. This is part of the reason that you're my hero, Ed. The fact is that you went to a 24-hour race, and you got 8 hours of sleep that night.
You know, that's the definition of slacker, actually.
Slacker.
I'm the only guy on the team with the motorhome. I didn't let anybody share my motorhome. And it was midnight, and I was tired, and I was put to sleep. And then I woke up about 8, and I'm like, oh, shit, I better get back up there and pull my weight. But, you know, we had 5 riders, right? And 24 hours is an even number. And so somebody had to ride a little bit less than everybody else. And, you know, I wasn't a regular part of the team, so I was happy with the 3 rides I got. And the part I played in making the whole thing, you know, work out.
I'm calling that an intellectual victory. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's genius, dude. All right. So, tell me what you thought, for your impressions for the, what we keep referring to the MotoGP race. If you missed the race at Misano, go get a copy of it and watch it. It's worth it. I don't care if you know who won. It's totally cool.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You'd get excited watching it the second time, even knowing everything that's going to happen.
Right. Absolutely.
And to give folks and I, so obviously, I think you can tell already that right now it's 5 p.m. on the Monday prior to this next podcast, number 43, being posted. We have a podcast in the can, loaded up and ready to go. Michael hasn't written the words for it yet because he likes to wait the last minute, but we watched that race and we're like, screw it. We'll make that podcast another time.
Exactly.
We'll
do
that. About a topic that can be plugged in whenever.
Right.
We want to talk about this race.
Right. Right? Absolutely.
So yeah, my first thought is that, you know, just like, what's the name of the two tennis player sisters? They're black.
The Serena. Williams.
And Venus. The Williams sisters. And one of them just lost this weekend at a big match to somebody that was 700-1 odds.
700-1?
Yeah. I think that was a number. Some huge, crazy number. And and Serena lost. She just got whooped by this girl, right?
Right.
And that's why you have to play the games. That's why you have to race the races.
You've got to race.
Because, you know, and then that's why a championship is made up of lots of different races in lots of different places and lots of different situations. Because, like, let's say you said, hey, it's going to be sunny, and we're going to have this fast, smooth, flowing track, and we're going to have one race. Who's going to win? Everybody goes, Lorenzo, right?
Right.
And we go, it's going to be sunny and nice, and we got this point-and-shoot, stop-and-go kind of track, and everybody knows Marquez is going to win, right? But so, you know, that's not fun enough. So we make and mix it all up, all different kinds of tracks, different kind of weathers, and different kind of stuff. And then, you know what? The smart old guy sometimes does better.
Right.
Now, it's not done, right? Lorenzo still has a shot.
Or in this case, the crazy young kids wound up doing better.
Well, right. For the individual race wins, how about the British Islands right now? Are they partying or what?
Right. Oh,
Smith,
my God.
Smith and
Redding.
Shoot.
Redding. Scott Redding.
Hey, and what did I say about Redding after the last race?
Dude.
I said, right, that now he might have gained some confidence, and hopefully this will help him out. The guy crashed in the gravel
in
the race.
But he did
and
it
came back to get third.
But he did it confidently, Ed. He crashed confidently.
Yes. Dude, if you're going to crash with style. And how about this? Did you notice? So, 1, 2, 3, and the fourth bike on Parc Fermat,
right,
the fastest of the Home to Class bikes, also was the fourth bike. That will never happen again.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, right?
What a crazy race. Okay, so now, I have long since loved what they call flag-to-flag.
Flag-to-flag.
Way of dealing with this situation. And you kind of weren't totally down with it, but it sounds like you like this one.
I love this race. There's a couple of reasons, and they give us some insight as to how, you know, people who say racing is boring, here's a little bit of insight, right? The weather gives us an opportunity to see what makes it better. But first, I want to talk about something that I mentioned to you earlier, which was this idea that, you know, we think of MotoGP as the pinnacle of racing, right? And watching it yesterday just reminded me of how crude the sport of motorcycle racing is compared to other forms of motorsports. Okay.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and I've been thinking all night, and I can't figure out, other than the cost, what you're talking about. So let's hear it.
Okay, you ready? First off, okay, the method of communicating to the driver of the vehicle, the rider of the vehicle, mid race, on, dude, we hold boards out and hope they see it. You know, Danny Pedrosa said he missed his pit board four times.
Well, I never even bother looking for my pit board in the first quarter of a race because until it spreads out, I can't figure out which one's mine. Anyway,
right? Exactly. And while
you're right about that, but that's one of the things about motorcycle racing is that our type of people like is the individuality of it that it retains.
Granted,
you're right. It's definitely better race strategy, and I love the Moto ST series, the endurance series, where the riders were required to have radios because the smart teams, the guys who paid attention to NASCAR,
right,
knew how to take advantage of that. Because right, what's going on is a perfect example. Lorenzo's out on the track; he should be coming in, but he doesn't have the big picture. He sees the spots of visor, the rain on his visor, and he's scared to come in and get on slicks early. Totally reasonable concern.
Right.
But his team knows that the guys who have gone out on slicks are 9 seconds faster.
Right.
He can't know that. But if he had a radio, then he could know that.
Or
he could just trust his team and come in when they said. But and so clearly, yes, they should have radios and they should do that. But
what doesn't even it doesn't even need to be radios, Ed. It could be they could have thought through the signaling better. They could have had pit boards elsewhere on the track because you know at Daytona they don't signal on the trioval.
Yeah, can't signal there. Yeah, you have to go somewhere else.
They signal.
Yeah, there's
in the
a
infield.
Lot of things that they could do, but you know, a lot of at that 24-hour race I just did, the crowd that is racing minis, they're kind of like anarchist Burning Man people.
Right.
They kind of sort of want to have a half-eaten pizza box on top of their tool kit.
I'm totally down with that, and I'm totally down with that. And here's, I like strategy. To me, racing isn't just all about, you know, who's stupider and who's more willing to die that day. Okay, I like long races where there's strategy and people thinking. And to get the rider involved in that, you got to be able to communicate with them. Now, there is one more legitimate concern, which is safety. By banning communication with the rider, you can't let the rider can never know if there's suddenly a downpour in the corner ahead of them. You know, they go barreling in thinking it was dry because it was dry last time, or it was this wet last time, and then they go in and, you know, bad things conceivably could happen. Fortunately, nobody got hurt badly this weekend. But that's one of my concerns. But I like, and call me nuts, you know, but I like...
Okay, you're nuts.
I know, right? Call me Crazy Dreamer. Crazy Dreamer! Just don't call me late for dinner. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Tip your waitress. Enjoy the veal. Listen, back to... I like strategy. And that was... Ed... The minute I confess, forgive me, Ed, forgive me, listeners, I love watching Formula One car racing, okay? The minute the guy in 18th place starts throwing purple sector times and he's 9 seconds a lap faster than the leaders, Ron, if you were driving for Ron Dennis and McLaren and you ignored that pit board or a call to come in once, he would be on the track in front of you with a hammer next lap, right?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, it's really easy to have a radio and radio communication in your car. It's a little bit harder
granted
to do it on a motorcycle. You got to have... You know, even if you put the radio in the rider's hump, which currently is occupied with
GPS.
A water system.
No, GPS and other stuff for the airbags.
You still have to have a push button for the rider to manipulate so he can talk. You can't use the microphones that just turn on when you start talking because there's too much wind noise.
Right.
So you could do a thing where the rider can't respond. He can only listen.
Right.
And you could, you know, do it in such a way that you only talk to him on straightaways.
And
there's no guarantee that he's going to understand it.
Right.
The earplug, the ear thingy that you have to use, and remember, I did this as a pace bike rider for Moto ST and for AMA when I did the pace bike stuff.
Right, right.
It does not block the noise the way I want it to. It's freaking and loud.
But if you,
when I have that thing in there instead of a regular earplug.
Now if you watch the Moto 2 race, though, one of the riders got black flag, and that's something we should talk about later on. Because why you black flag a person just because they're a lap down is, I got a problem with that as a racer. Okay, I really have a problem with that. They're like, well, he's in the middle of the lead pack. Yeah, but he's pulling away from the guy in fourth place. Why are you going to pull that? You don't pull that guy out of the race just because he's messing up your TV show. It's a race.
I didn't watch it yet. You're saying that there was a guy who was a lap down.
Uh-huh.
And he was in the middle of the battle.
Uh-huh. He crashed. He went a lap down. He was going faster than anybody except for the first three guys on the track. So,
yeah, but so now you got a guy who's a lap down,
mm-hmm.
and he's interfering with the battle, the legitimate battle for the guys who have a chance to win the race.
No, by the time they black flagged him, he was pulling away from fourth place.
Right, but there's still the three guys in front.
He wasn't anywhere near them, and he wasn't going to catch them. It was
so is your issue that they black flagged him, or
yeah.
did they black flag them at the wrong time?
I have a problem. If I enter a race, my bike is safe to be on the track. I am trying to go out there and ride as hard as I can to get as many points as I can. I don't think I should be black flagged.
Well, there's no way you can get any points from a lap down.
Well, are you kidding?
Redding
crashed.
The fourth place guy? Was he being rude?
I don't think so. I think if
okay, well, I tell you what, let's do this. I'll watch that before we make the next show, of
okay.
course. And this will be something that we can expound on.
Yeah, I think it's great.
And then maybe you can watch it too, because sometimes, you know, when you watch it only once, what you see it a little different when you watch it later.
You're absolutely correct.
But let's get back to the unbelievable race we just had. So practice went Lorenzo's way, as you would expect in those conditions. Marquez did a good job of staying in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Lorenzo made a new outright track record, and he did it effortlessly.
Right.
And he did it by a really big margin. So, you know, he was the most disappointed when that rain moved in, because it looked like he had that thing wrapped up.
Yeah, even though Rossi blocked him on his qualifying lap, he still...
You know, and I thank you for reminding me of that, because Rossi was coming into the pits, and did you notice that little whiny-ass motherfucker did not signal in any shape or form before coming into the pits?
Which one?
Rossi.
Yeah. Dude.
When I'm race director and you enter the pits without signaling, I'm shitting your ass down.
You know, no matter who you are, right? But don't forget.
You have to signal before coming in the pits. I mean, come on. Now, I get it. There's only 20 guys in the hole, or 26
Doesn't
guys
matter.
Or whatever, and it's not like you're out in practice at a club event with 40 guys on the track and it's crowded and they're all different speeds and all that kind of stuff. But he could have. He should have. He's
Dude,
required to at least put his foot off the bank, for crying out loud.
It's Valentino Rossi. He could strangle a panda on the hot grid in front of the television cameras, and they'd say nothing but two-position grid penalty in 2023. You know?
Yeah, he should get a penalty point for that bullshit.
That's
unacceptable. And then to be like all this at Lorenzo and try to blow him off that it was nothing, that was full-on deliberate Rossi trying to get under Lorenzo's skin, and it might have worked just enough.
You know,
Lorenzo was pretty wound up on the practice starts. He fluffed both of them after that incident.
I think here's where I think Lorenzo got it wrong. Okay, and here's where
he followed Rossi. He should have come into the pits and run his own race.
Right. Exactly.
He didn't have to beat Rossi. He didn't have to beat Rossi. It would be nice to beat Rossi. Marquez came in exactly the right time.
No, Marquez came in late. Marquez came in late, dude. Marquez should have been in two laps earlier.
Marquez came in late relative to the rain.
Yeah.
But he came in at the correct time relative to the people that mattered that he was racing against.
Absolutely. Ed, while you were watching the race, when you saw Valentino go by the pit entrance, Lorenzo go by pit entrance, and Marquez come in, what was the first thing that went through your head?
That he was going to win. He came in at the right.
Exactly.
He should have come in a lap before that.
Right.
At some time before that, he put himself into third place, which I thought, that's perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they come in, he comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gets lucky, they stay out and he comes in before they do.
Exactly.
Which would be the reverse of what he did last year at Argonne.
And at Phillip Island.
And he nailed it perfect.
Phillip Island.
I can understand why Rossi tried to stay out. He was praying that it would start raining again.
Right.
Lorenzo's totally had his head up his ass. And they gave him in the inboard and he ignored it.
Yep. Well, same thing with Valentino. You know? Now, having said all that, I still think Valentino came out of this doing really well. Not just because, Lorenzo crashed. But I look at it this way, okay? Under the worst of circumstances, Rossi was going to finish third, okay? So he would have lost 9 points to Lorenzo. Instead, he winds up 11 up. At the best of circumstances, Lorenzo winds up third, and he gains 9 points. So he did even better than it would have worked out had it been dry, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
One of the interesting things that I watched the interview with Lorenzo after the race, and he said that he just wasn't patient enough on the first lap on the slicks.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, was really good because, you know, he didn't make an excuse like he did at Silverstone with the visor. And when he talked about what is remaining to do, so if he wins the remaining five races, mm-hmm. he's the champion.
Yeah.
I think the chances of him being able to do that have now increased. I think his determination is even greater because in the past, he could say, oh, my visor caused a problem. Now he's only thinking, I fucked up.
I got to win.
Right? That guy is a laser beam. When he puts his energy into fixing something, it's going to be fixed.
And even if he doesn't win the races, but he winds up second, if he mixes race wins with seconds, he still winds up champion.
He still has a good chance because Rossi is the only guy now who hasn't made a big mistake.
Right.
And I mean, how do you do a season this long at that level not make a big mistake at some point, right?
Well, you could argue that Misano was his big mistake. Okay? You could argue that yesterday was his big mistake.
Well, I mean by big, I mean a zero.
Right. And but it's almost like the championship that nobody wants to win.
Did you hear the crowd when he passed for the lead?
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. 93,000 people.
Went batshit, right?
You know, I was thinking about, if Rossi wins the championship, how happy Yamaha could be, right?
Right.
I mean, Yamaha's going to be happy because they've got first and second, right? And if Lorenzo wins, that's fantastic. But if the hands-down most popular sports hero in the universe wins your championship for you, how can it be better than that?
It doesn't get better than that.
Nothing.
It doesn't get better than that. I have to, go back to the point that I was making about how much, you know, the rider still is involved. And boy, that just sounds scary to me, letting the meathead in the leathers make all the decisions. But you got
to... I'm not saying it's the best way to do it, but I'm saying it fits in with the psychology of our fans.
Yeah.
And also, while you're coming up through the sport, it's mostly individual.
Yep. Oh, it's very individual.
You know? And so to change that, when you get all of a sudden now you've got to be part of a team, it's one of the conflicts that we see all the time, right?
And
often are riders and teams changing up and everything?
Yep. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Bradley Smith.
And Scott
Redding.
Did he stay out on slicks
the whole time? I think the whole time.
That's what his interview sounded like.
Yeah.
And he was just saying, in Park Furman, he was just saying, you know, the luck favors the brave, luck favors the brave.
There you go.
I didn't see that during the race.
Because he was down in like 18th or something like that. And he wound up on the podium. And also, big props to Loris Baz.
Who he did great.
Just called. And you know, and Ed, do you know anything about Loris's background?
Check this out. I'm looking at the results, and yes, Bradley Smith did not pit.
Yeah.
He stayed out on the slicks. He kept it upright. And folks, if you're wondering what that's like and it's not raining where you are, go fill your tires up to 100 PSI.
Right?
And then, go for a ride when they're still cold, and then report back how many miles you made.
Oh, spend some time on a skating rink.
What were you saying about Loris Baz?
Do you know anything about his background?
Hey, he's a French guy who races motorcycles.
There you go. Do you know where he got a ton of his experience?
No.
Endurance racing. Lots and lots of endurance racing.
That, you know, all of these guys would be good at endurance racing.
Oh, yeah. Right?
They because really, those weekends are, you know, three-day-long races.
Yep.
It's not just the stuff that's going on in the track.
Yep. But what I mean is that Loris has experience and knows how to you know, tiptoe around on slicks, knowing that in three laps there's going to be a dry line. Loris knows how to keep a bike on a six-inch wide dry line.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, in the dark, too.
Yeah.
So the other thing that's playing in here, right, so for Smith, Redding, Baz, you know, they had a different calculus
right.
when they were thinking about the weather, right? It changed things, right? Of the three guys at the front, only one of them was able to stay at the front because their calculation is based on what the other guy does. Whereas a guy like Smith, he's like, fuck, I don't care what Rossi's doing.
Right.
I'm going to do the thing that gives me what I think is the best shot for me. His team, we need to have an interview with his team members. They had to have been scared out of their pants while he was out there on the slicks, right? How many times? They probably, there's what, four rows on the board, right?
That right.
They show you your position. It probably said in, motherfucker.
How many times did they have to start that bike, pull it off the stands, he goes by,
oh, yeah.
They put it back on the stands,
money,
exactly,
sure.
put it back on the tire warmers, all yep. That was freaking awesome,
how
man.
How about Petrucci? So normally, Ronnie, you go up a little ways, and then you get your first podium, right? So he had been like, what, eighth was his best, and when he went to second, so now he got to sixth, and it evened it back out.
There you go. You know, yep. it was just, I... And this is my concluding point. If you want,
we're not even close to done.
Oh yeah, we're 30 minutes, dude.
No, it doesn't matter. You can blow up the clock all the time. I'm blowing up the clock on this one.
Okay.
Come on, what's your concluding point?
My concluding point is, if you want to see this every race, it's the same thing that other forms of motorsports do, and it's not that difficult to do. Mandate two different tires with a pit stop. That's all you got to do.
You know? They did that in the car world is because their races were boring.
Yes.
Our races are crazy exciting.
Well,
without mandatory pit stops.
Really? Ask the people who were talking about Lorenzo's four race win, how exciting they were. You know?
I was crazily excited.
Yes, you, but
and now you made me forget the thing that I wanted to talk about. What the heck was it? Oh, how about, so drama before the race even started, the wild card Ducati test rider, who's the fastest of all the Ducatis, right?
Right.
His bike fucking breaks on the pre-grid.
Well, Ed, it's a Ducati.
Yeah, I was wondering if the team did something because they didn't want him. But so then the poor guy jumps on his rain bike so he can make the start.
Right.
Hoping that they're going to signal him that he can come in after one lap and, you know, at least participate in this race, right?
Right.
Because, you know, the guy, well, he works hard all year. The part of the deal is, yeah, you get to do a couple wild cards, and then it gets taken away from him after, right?
Yeah.
And so then it starts to rain. Oh, fuck, maybe I'm the only guy on rain tires, right?
Right.
It's not a rain, but it doesn't rain enough. You know, and then when he finally comes in, the other bike's still not fixed, so he was totally.
It was standing around, right?
I do
feel bad for him because the test riders, it's a big deal to participate. You know, you finally slave away in, you know, absolute anonymity. Nobody knows what you're doing. You're there, you know, putting lap after lap after lap. I mean, you know, the team bolts on a new part and says, go push this and see if it breaks, right?
Exactly, right?
You know?
And meanwhile, you got to be fast enough to be one of those guys.
Right.
To be a real tester.
Right.
And he proved that he's that fast, and then he didn't get his day in the sunshine.
That sucks, right? Meanwhile, you're out there, you know, the crew's like, yeah, we're gonna crank this setting up to 10. Go out there and see if you die. Meanwhile, the factory rider is watching you, sipping a latte, going, wow, that looks really spooky. I'm glad I don't have to do that. Let me go back to the tire thing for just a second. If you watch the Moto2 race, the guy started on a variety of tires. Lots of fun in that race. As one tire fell off and the other tires came on, some people were able to make the soft tire work. Some people were able to not make the soft tire work. You can get that every time if you, you know, do the mandated change. But, you know,
I think you're trying to fix a problem that we don't have.
I disagree.
I think what you do is you go flag to flag for all the classes.
The problem, of
I mean,
course.
I'm sure there's, money and but that would be the solution to the problems those guys are having, right? Or something to make their pit stops a little bit better.
To make them do pit stops, but I no. In Moto2, no, the race was all dry.
Right, but when the Moto2 guys need to change tires, or the Moto3 guys, it turns into a
disaster,
clown show.
Yeah,
in the
yeah, right. You know.
Yeah.
Beep, deep, 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 deep,
so,
deep, deep, deep.
The cat herder.
Okay.
The guy. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No clue.
So when you watch MotoGP, there's the tall, skinny guy who's herding the cats. He's like coordinating the guys in Park Firma to make sure they go talk to all the right TV groups.
Got it.
Have you seen that guy? Have you noticed him yet?
No. Go on.
You gotta watch him more carefully. He's impressive, and that's why I call him the cat herder. Because he's got to get these personalities and these egos. And I mean, granted, these guys know what their job is, and they're supposed to talk to all these people with the TVs and all that kind of stuff. But he's always looking busy, and you can see him jumping out of the way so the camera can't see him because the show's not about him and whatever. But it was fun to watch him this time, right? Because now he's got two guys that don't know the routine. So he's even busier than normal. And plus, of course, there's extra congratulating of each other going on, right? Because
right.
it's their first time in the podium.
Right, right.
I just wanted to point that guy out. He's earning his keep. He's like a pitch hitter, I think, because at Silverstone, he did the interviews afterwards that the main guy normally does. And for whatever reason, the guy wasn't available or whatever. But, we keep talking about how good the broadcast is, the coverage is. It keeps getting better. And that is one of the guys that's making it happen. I also noticed another change. There must be some visual way for Devin to let the guys in the booth know that he has something to say now. Because they start cutting to Devin without Devin trying to interrupt anymore. And that's made the show a little bit smoother. Because, especially in this event, right, he's got lots of detailed, critical information that really helps you understand what's going on. So, what do we got for a two-minute board? We don't really need one for this show.
I'd just like to give a memory to Joanna Bitter. She and Bill, Joanna, for those of you who don't know, died at a race recently at Auto Club Speedway. She and Bill were some of the first people to come race at CVMA. They were some of the first people I met when I was working in the office there. And I think, these things, memory and years go by, right? But if I recall correctly, one of them was in the first weekend or the second weekend. They raced, they got a small cash purse, then they came back into the office because I had put the wrong bill in the envelope and they wanted to give me the money that they hadn't earned. They wanted to give it back, you know?
It's good story.
People like that who make club racing worthwhile, and we're going to miss you, Joanne. Hey, and with that, he's Ed Sorbo.
He's Michael Gugis.
Aloha.
Aloha.